Hello and welcome. Today's guest is someone I've been itching to talk to for some time. Suzanne Dibble is a former corporate lawyer who's worked alongside the likes of Sir Richard Branson and Simon Woodruff, the founder of the Yo Sushi restaurant chain and one of the original dragons on BBC's Dragon's Den. Well, after winning many awards for her legal work, a few years ago, Suzanne decided to step away from the corporate world to start her own venture, the Small Business Legal Academy. Fast forward to today, and she's recently published a best-selling Dummies Guide book on the subject of GDPR. And if you've never heard of GDPR, don't worry, you soon will. Suzanne, welcome.
Thank you. It is an absolute pleasure to be talking to you today.
Well, you've done so much already. It's really hard to know where to start, but perhaps you could tell me a little bit more about where you're from and how you ended up as a corporate lawyer.
Well, I can give you the abridged version or the very long version. I think for the sake of the listeners, we'll stick to the abridged version. Now, some of you, if you listen to me talk a little bit longer, you'd notice my flat A's. So even though I've lived down south now for about 25 years, you can still detect the northern accent. So I grew up in the northwest in a county called Cheshire. And I went to a private school, actually, and it was the type of school where if you were good at science, you were going to be a doctor, and if you weren't good at science, you were going to be a lawyer. That's about as extensive as the career advice was back then. And as you can tell from the way that my career went, I wasn't very good at science. So it was really, you were sort of pointed in those directions. I did a placement, I seem to remember, at the local, and I mean very local, sort of high street law firm. And the managing partner drove a very fancy Jaguar. And I thought, that'll do for me. I'll go into law. I'd love to give you some tale about, you know, I went down to the criminal law courts and was, you know, saw a travesty, a miscarriage of justice that I wanted to remedy in some way. But actually, it was a little bit more superficial than that. But, you know, saying that, it's been a brilliant career for me. It's allowed me to do pretty much everything that I've wanted to do. It's exercised my grey cells, certainly. It's enabled me to meet some incredible people. Like you mentioned, I've worked alongside Richard Branson and Simon Woodruff and other fascinating entrepreneurs. I've been doing the kind of deals that you would read about on the front of the FT. I've worked at ITV and led the biggest deal that they ever did when we were transmuting over from the analog signal to the digital signal. So I've had a fantastic career in law. And then I was very blessed that I was able to start my own practice, which has allowed me to work totally flexibly around my children. So I consider myself very lucky, actually, to have not been good at science, so that I've gone down the legal route rather than the medical route. Although saying that, I am suggesting to my daughter that she might consider medicine, because obviously I've had lots of experience of doctors with my husband and my mum and other family members who've needed the support of these brilliant people. So I'm suggesting that she might like that route, but for me, the legal route has been a joy, really.
And what a journey it's been, as you say. I mean, you've worked for some of the top companies around the country, and then to branch out and set up on your own, that's a huge achievement. And as you mentioned, you have worked with some of the biggest names in the corporate world, like Richard Branson. Well, what was that like?
It was, well, at the time, to be honest, I didn't realise what a big deal it was. Having now been in a circle of entrepreneurs for the last 10 years since I've set up my own business, I've realised that most of those entrepreneurs would literally give their right arm to go for dinner with Richard Branson, and not just people in this country, but all around the world. And I did that many times. I went to his house in Holland Park. I went for dinner with just him and three other people to a very cozy little restaurant in Chelsea. We went clubbing together on the King's Road. And at the time, you know, I really didn't think that much of it. I mean, he was a great guy. We had a lot of fun, but I wasn't thinking, goodness me, I'm here with a living legend in the entrepreneurial world. And he was fantastic. I mean, I wrote a blog post, actually, about the things that I learned from him. And what he was excellent at doing was finding really good people and then letting them get on with it. So, you know, he wasn't one to micromanage, that's for sure. And I think that actually is a real skill. Mm-hmm. But also, just such a people person. When we went for dinner, we went to the pub first. I can't remember the name, a lovely little pub on a corner of the King's Road in Chelsea. And everyone was staring and pointing and saying, you know, there's Richard. And, you know, rather than getting annoyed by it, he'd sort of, you know, give them a little wave. And I thought, well, that's jolly nice of him. And then we went to the restaurant, and I kid you not, by the end of the meal, the whole of the restaurant had pulled up a chair around our table. It was only a cozy little place, you know, it's like maybe 30 people in there. And he was regaling the entire, you know, the 30 or so guests with stories about his life, about Virgin, and they were loving it. And he, you know, he was so giving in that way. He didn't seem in any way annoyed that these people were interrupting a private dinner. And he was like that all the time. You know, he'd come into the office and he would, Virgin were very good to their staff, and I believe still are. There was a games room downstairs with a table tennis table and some games consoles and free food and free fruit and et cetera. And he would regularly pop in. And he just, you know, made everyone so at ease, and a really huge people person. And of course, there's his legendary vision. You know, I think, you know, that was evident in the way that the company was set up. We had a specific team that purely looked at ideas that people sent him. And every single one was looked at. And obviously, you know, the ones that had viability were taken forwards. But, you know, he had his own within all, he had about 25 group companies at that time. And he still, you know, had this venture capital arm that was actively looking for new ways to make the customer experience better, which is really what the Virgin Group was all about. So, yes, fantastic time working at Virgin and getting to know Richard and learned a lot from him.
Would you say he's influenced you in any way, Suzanne?
Well, I mean, even before I met him, actually, I'd read all of his books, and if you'd have asked me what I wanted, who I wanted to be when I was sort of 15, I would have said I want to be the female Richard Branson. So I've obviously failed on that, and unless, you know, in the next sort of 20 years, I'm going to build and grow sort of 25 companies to the level he has, I think I've failed on that. But he certainly ignited in me my entrepreneurial spark, and I think that was what made it a lot easier to walk away from quite a structured corporate life to set up my own business. And I've spoken to lots of lawyers since who I know would, particularly women actually, who at the point that they had children wanted to still have some career, but they didn't want to have the demands that the, you know, the corporate job placed on them. They just weren't brave, or they didn't feel that they were brave enough to walk away from that and set up their own venture. So I think that he certainly gave me that, and working there as well, you know, even there was always an entrepreneurial yearning there, but it sort of gave me the confidence almost to see that through.
That's great. I mean, you must have been worried as well about stepping away from that well-paid corporate job to set up your own venture.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I was on a multiple six-figure package, and to go from that to nothing is scary for anybody. But I knew that. I mean, I was a corporate lawyer, which are the typically, you know, that's the longest hours that you'll ever do in a legal job. It was, you know, regularly you were working 18-hour days, weekends. I think the longest I went without any sleep was 3 nights. Wow. We did the deal. We signed the deal at 10 a.m. on the Monday. I think we'd worked all over the weekend. It was this Swedish management team, and they brought their 10 bottles of vodka and or whatever fire water it was from Sweden. And at 10 a.m. after, you know, not having had any sleep for 3 nights, they got that out and did the old, you know, the toast where you have to look each other in the eye, go around the table and skull, etc. I think and then they took us out for lunch and more drinks after that. By 3 p.m., I went home hallucinating because of the lack of sleep, and by then I'm sure the vodka. But it just wasn't a job that was compatible with having a small family. So in the end, it was a fairly easy decision to make, in that I'd just become pregnant with my first child, and I knew that I couldn't carry that on. So for me, it was. Because it was such a tough job, it was almost an easier decision to make, mm-hmm. if you like. And also, I was fortunate in that my husband's got a good job. His wage, you know, covered the mortgage. And yes, we'd probably have to go without a few things if my business failed, but you know, we had that security of knowing that the mortgage would be paid. So I think I was in a very fortunate position, and you know, I had confidence in myself. I knew that I was, you know, I'm not only a good technical lawyer, but I've got good people skills. I was actively looking forward to going out and networking and finding new clients, and I thought, well, you know, I'll give it a go. Worst case scenario, I'm sure I can, you know, find another job. But it's a big leap, particularly when you've been, you know, been in a sort of very structured, high paid job. But I'm eternally grateful that I took that leap.
And that leap, was that to the Small Business Legal Academy? Was that the first venture that you had?
Well, initially, I, as most people who have an expertise do, I set up as a consultancy, and I really wanted to help other women like me. So women who had been in a corporate life but had quit that because they wanted more flexibility when they were having a family, and they'd set up their own business to enable them to work more flexibly. So my very first business actually was called Lawyers for Mumpreneurs. Dreadful name, but it kind of did what it, you know, it said on the tin. Mm-hmm. And we won lots of awards for that, because really there were no other legal offerings in the country that were aiming at that particular niche. And very happily at that time, there was a whole industry that was growing up around mumpreneurs. So there were lots of conferences, there were trainings for mumpreneurs, there were bloggers for mumpreneurs, there were membership sites for mumpreneurs. So really, I just became the lawyer of choice for that sort of industry, and very quickly became overbooked. So I realized that I was working the hours I was working in the city, but because I was trying to set my fees, you know, at a much lower level for small businesses to be able to afford my fees, I was getting paid nowhere near what I was in my corporate job.
Right.
So I thought, well, that's not where I wanted to be. I don't want to be working as hard. That was the whole reason for starting my own business. So I got to a sort of one of those sliding doors type moments where I thought, I've got to do something. And I thought, well, I can either hire more lawyers and expand that way, or I can productize my expertise. And I thank my lucky stars pretty much every day that I went for the I'll productize my expertise route rather than I'll take on more lawyers. You know, it's been, yes, a lot of hard work initially to set up that's what ultimately it became, the Small Business Legal Academy. That was my way of productizing my expertise. I remember my youngest, I was breastfeeding my youngest. She was probably only 4 months old when I decided that I wanted to do it. And I sold it before I'd actually created it. And then the idea was that I would produce the content over, I think it was 8 weeks that I'd promised to produce it, but I'd vastly underestimated the amount of work it would take, particularly to film the videos that I wanted to film. And so I was working through the night. I was probably getting 2 hours sleep a night for about those 8 weeks, which did nearly finish me off. Then it was done. And actually the people who initially bought from me were very generous. And I said, you know, I'm very sorry, but it's taken so long to do the videos. I'm going to follow up, you know, the videos will follow later. And people were very kind about that and said, yeah, no problem. It was, I think people think with a passive income, there's no work to do at all. But of course there is, there's lots of work to do up front. But the joy of it is that now that that's all set up, you know, the content's there, it's all automated. Obviously I have to spend time in updating it. I'm always adding new documents and new materials to it and making sure that it's all up to date. But once the bulk of the work is done, I'm effectively earning money while I sleep. Mm-hmm. Without the stress of managing other people. So obviously, I mean, I have a small support team, but nothing like managing a team of lawyers, for example. That was the early days of the Small Business Legal Academy. And we started out, you know, I say reasonably small, although there was still a very good amount of materials in there. And that was in 2013. So for the last 7 years, we've been constantly adding to that. We've had many, many thousands of members now go through that. We do it on a renewal basis, so that if people want to renew for a following 12 months access, they pay a much reduced fee. And I think our renewal rate is something like 85%, which is fantastic.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's been, I know I've helped lots and lots of small business owners. It's been very satisfying to do from that perspective. But also it's, you know, it's over the years earned me a very, very nice passive income. So, you know, it's been a win-win, really.
It's been a wild ride as well, by the sounds of things. And just for anybody who's not come across the Small Business Legal Academy, maybe you could just tell us what it is and why it's of benefit.
Yes. So what I realised was that for small, but this is, it's really for very small businesses, probably the micro businesses, although I have larger businesses there, but really who I was creating it for was the micro businesses, up to 10 employees, that kind of size business. And what I realised was 7 years ago was that there was sort of two far flung ends of the spectrum. You could either pay for one-to-one legal consultancy, which a lot of small businesses just perceived that they didn't have the budget for, so they weren't having any legal protection at all. And then at the other end of the scale were the template sites. But certainly at the time, and they're not actually that much better now, you don't know who's produced them, and very often it was non-lawyers who were producing these templates. But what I found was I had lots of clients coming to me, or people who ultimately became my clients, but they'd first tried a template site, and they'd brought a template that they'd bought to me and said, I bought this template to do X. I've tried to complete it, but I can't get it to do what I want it to do. And I'd have a look at the template and find that they'd bought completely the wrong thing for what they were trying to do. So there was this kind of grey area in the middle. And I thought, I want to put something together that bridges that gap and gives those small businesses who can't afford or perceive that they don't have the budget for the one-to-one legal advice more of a protection than they're getting at the moment. So my legal academy includes all of the templates that any small business is likely to need. So from terms of business, website terms, privacy notices, cookie policies, IP documents, employment documents. You know, I've got a coronavirus business protection, or coronavirus business survival module in there. All of the documents that you can think of that you would need to run and protect your small business are in there. And then, but aside from that, so that's your, I suppose, the sort of more traditional template site offering. But then around that, you've got, there's an 8-week email course that guides businesses through the types of legal issues that they're likely to face, because very often small businesses just don't know the issues that they're supposed to be thinking about. And then that course sort of signposts people to the resources within the academy that will help them. So, for example, there's the first part of that course is a legal audit. And it might say, you know, have you used a designer to design your logo? Yes. If yes, have you got an effective assignment of intellectual property? Does it say this, this, and this? If not, then go and look at the IP assignment letter and get that signed. So it's a very easy to use way of directing people, identifying the legal issue, and then directing people to the resources. There's trainings in there. I do regular monthly trainings on the sort of hot issues and upcoming issues. There's a comprehensive ebook in there. There's checklists. There's lots of guidance notes. There is action plans for people who actually want to take it on a week-by-week basis and put all of the legals in place in their business. I literally put everything in there that I could think of that would make it as easy as possible for small businesses to put all the legals in place and protect their business.
You're right. It's one of the areas that I think most business owners tend to overlook, particularly when you're just getting started. It's an area that you think, yeah, I'll get to that later. Right now, I'm really excited because I'm starting my business and, you know, I want to set up a website. I want to start getting clients. And you don't really put too much thought behind the legal aspect of what you're creating. And of course, these days, you have to have that type of protection.
Well, that's it. It's not a purchase that business owners are excited to make, to be honest. It is similar to the insurance buying process, I suppose. It's not a fancy new logo or a website or, you know, they're the kind of things that excite business owners. But you see, the reason that I'm so passionate about helping small business owners with this is that I see what happens when they don't cover themselves. And very often it would have been so easy for them to have protected themselves. So, for example, I had a lady come to me and she said, very small. It was just her in her business. She was, I can't remember, she was a consultant, and she'd paid a friend to do all of her website copy for her. And it was, she paid her £5,000, which is not